Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you, one and all. Let's turn, please, for a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, reading from the verse 1, continuing our series on the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in the Bible, and we're looking at Solomon. I said to you that the difference between David and Solomon and their likeness to the Lord Jesus is seen in that David shows to us the Savior during his time of humiliation here on earth some 2,000 years ago. There's a wonderful parallel between the treatment David received and the treatment that the Lord Jesus received. And we can build a picture of our Savior in his humiliation from the information given us regarding David. But then when we come to Solomon, picture changes, because Solomon's reign was a much more glorious reign than that of David. And Solomon speaks of a future time when the Lord Jesus will come again and will rule and reign on this earth. And there's a picture in the life of Solomon of those future days. So let's read from 1 Kings chapter 5, the verse 1. And Hiram king of Tyre sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover, a friend of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. That's a very important verse. The difference between David's reign and Solomon is just summed up for us here. David, war. War on every side. But then God put the enemy under the feet of David at the very end, and Solomon taking over has peace on every side. And it does speak to us, you know, of that future time when the Savior comes and when he will rule on this earth and his enemies will be put down. Put down. Verse 5, And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants. And unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. We'll end the reading there. I have sought to point out some likenesses between the reign of Solomon and that reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will take place upon this earth after he returned. I pointed out, first of all, how that one of the very first things Solomon did when he came to the throne was to reward those who had been faithful to his father David, and then to judge those who had been wicked during the reign of his father David. And of course, that's what the Savior's going to do at the very commencement of his reign. He's going to hold a judgment, not of all the world, because we're told that when Jesus comes, the saved will be raised from the grave, but the rest of the dead lived not until after the 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, the ungodly will be raised and will be judged at the great white throne judgment. But there will be judgment at the beginning of the reign of the Lord Jesus, at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Not the judgment of the wicked, which will take place at the end of the 1,000 years. But rather, the Saviour is going to gather all who say they're Christians. The picture given us in the Gospels is of a shepherd gathering his flock made up of sheep and goats. Now, as I've said, and you've heard many preachers say, and probably Sunday school teachers say as well, that in Bible times, the goat and the sheep looked very, very much alike. Very much alike. It wasn't until you got up real close and examined them that you could tell the difference. And among those who profess to be saved, there are the sheep. But there are also the goats who look like sheep. But they're not. They're not. And when the Saviour comes again, he's going to gather all the nations that make up that which we call Christendom. Those who profess to be Christians. Saviour's going to gather them all when he comes. And he's going to start dividing them. Sheep on his right hand, goats on his left. Just as it was with Solomon. He made a division between those who had been faithful to David, served him, and those who hadn't, who had been treacherous and irksome and troublesome. And he divided the two, and he rewarded the one and he judged the other. We considered also that in the reign of Solomon there was great peace. We read it there in the verses in 1 Kings chapter 5. David had known war, but Solomon now was enjoying peace. All his enemies had been put down, subdued. So it will be in the days when the Saviour reigns. Oh, boys and girls, this earth will then know peace. It says in Isaiah 2, they shall learn war no more. There'll be no armies. There'll be no recruiting offices. There will be no joining up and beginning to be trained as a soldier. None of that. When Jesus comes again. Now we're going to look at the fact that when Solomon comes to the throne, he sets about doing something that his father could never do, and that was build the temple. Couldn't build a temple because of the circumstances that prevailed in the days of David. There was war, 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 war. But now the wars are over, Solomon's on the throne, and Solomon is going to give himself to the task of building the temple. He recruits help from his friend Hiram, who was of the land of Tyre, which was north of Israel, up the coast. And that particular part of the world was very famous for its trees, its cedar trees, beautiful trees, big, tall trees. And the men there were very skilled at cutting trees, because they were doing it all the time. And Solomon says, I'd like you to send me not only trees, but I'd like you to send me the men who can shape them, work them, all in preparation for the building of the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 6, and the verse 1, we're given a date when the building began. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziv, which is the 2nd month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. 480 years after the Exodus, the building of the temple began. You know, boys and girls, the scripture says that 1,000 years with God are but as a day, and a day as 1,000 years. And that simply means that time. Time is of no consequence to God. It's of consequence to us. We count the minutes of the day. We look at our watch and we work out how long we have to stay in the class in which we're studying a subject that maybe we're not that happy about. And we live with a consciousness of the passage of time. But it is not so with God, because God is eternal. There is no beginning, no end. And sometimes to us, God's plans and God's purposes work out very slowly. We would maybe at times wish it would happen quicker. 480 years have passed since he had come out of Egypt, and only now is the temple being built. Oh, I tell you, we should take note of that. And we're told that it was in the fourth year of Solomon's reign. Preliminaries were over. Essential matters that Solomon had to address when he came to the throne have now been completed. And he's going to concentrate on this great work of building the temple. And you know, boys and girls, one of the first things that will begin to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again is the building of a temple. The building of a temple. That's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. A temple is going to be built in Jerusalem. Let me just refresh your mind. These are things, let me tell you, these are truths that an awful lot of Christians do not accept. They don't accept that Christ is going to reign on the earth. And they certainly do not accept that he's going to reign from Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem he's going to build a temple. And it's going to become the center of worship in the whole world during the 1,000 years that Christ is reigning on the earth. There are many, many, many good Christians who don't believe that. They have another view. But I have to say, and I say it as gently as I can, for them to hold another view, they have to ignore what God's word plainly says. They have to ignore it. They have to look at what God plainly says and say, no, it doesn't mean what the plain understanding of these words would suggest they mean. But we're going to put another meaning on them. Now, God's people have ever been guilty of that sort of thinking. Yes, they have. They have ever been tempted into placing upon the Word of God a meaning which contradicts the plain and obvious meaning of the Word. Now, that started way back in the Garden of Eden. I'm just going to follow this of thought for a moment or two. God said to Adam and Eve that they were not to eat of the tree known as the tree of forbidden fruit. And then the devil came along, and he began to twist the words of the Lord, and he began very, very, very subtly to suggest to Eve, for he chose Eve as the target of his temptations, that what God was saying was rather unreasonable. And at the very beginning of this conversation, Eve finds herself carried away by the devil's subtlety, so that she, in seeking to repeat what God had commanded, added to the word of God. God said, thou shalt not eat. Eve said, oh, God has said we shall not eat, nor should we touch. God didn't say that. Latter part. Never mentioned touching. Just not eating. Just not eating. And the devil ever does that. He has us come to the word of God and take from it and place upon it understandings that are not there. And I tell you, that's one of the things that has happened regarding the teaching of the word of God and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah chapter 2, you know it. We've referred to it many times, and quite rightly so, because it plainly talks about the last days. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. These are words from God concerning where? Judah and Jerusalem. Not the church, not Christians everywhere. Judah and Jerusalem. You know, because we live next door to the church, sometimes the postman delivers letters to us that are intended for the church. Why'd he do that? Because he didn't read the address correctly. Had he read the address, he would have said, oh, that's for next door. You've got to read the address on God's letters. And this letter, this word, it's for Judah and Jerusalem. And then it goes on in verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The last days. Those are the days that lead up to the second coming and follow on after the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And in those days, Judah and Jerusalem are going to feature. And one of the things that's going to feature in Jerusalem is the Lord's house. It's going to be a temple there. And it's a temple to which, as we read, the nations shall go to hear the word of God. The nations shall go to hear the word of God. It's going to become an attraction to nations. And they will say one to another, encouraging one another, let us go up to Jerusalem and hear the word of the Lord. And that is foreshadowed for us, pictured for us in the reign of Solomon. One of the first things he does is to build the temple. In the fourth year of his reign, he starts to build the temple. Now, it's a massive task, and it would have taken quite a bit of preparation. And to begin the work in the fourth year, I'm sure there were a number of years, or certainly a substantial period, of getting ready, getting men organized, giving commands to his chief secretaries. Organize workmen, organize labor, pick the site, mark it out, and all the rest of it. We read how he had contacted Hiram, start cutting down trees, and they had to take the trees from away up there above Israel and get them down to Jerusalem. And how they did it, by the way, was to take them out to the sea, form them into big rafts, and float them down the Mediterranean coast. And then carry them from there to Jerusalem. Not a work. But he has obviously given attention to it almost immediately. Because after such a short period, 4 years, he was able to begin the work. And that's what the Savior's going to do when he comes again. You see, Jerusalem is going to be the center of his reign. He's going to reign from Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there is going to be a temple. It's going to be a temple. It took 7 years for Solomon to build that temple. I'll just show you that in chapter 7 of 1 Kings. Chapter 7 of 1 Kings. And it's the last verse of chapter 7. And so ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels, and he did put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. If you turn back to chapter 6, and the last verses of chapter 6 gives us the length of time involved. Verse 37, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid, in the month Ziph. And in the 11th year, 7 years later, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof. 7 years and 7 months involved in the building of the temple. Right at the beginning of the reign of Solomon. So it will be, boys and girls. So it will be when Jesus comes again. There will be a temple raised in Jerusalem. Raised under his supervision. Just as Solomon was given the plans for the temple that he built. God showed him the plans that he should build. So the Lord Jesus will supervise the building of that temple. The temple will be built according to the mind and the will and the design of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the Lord Jesus. Now, time's gone. We'll have to come back to this, although it'll be next Tuesday we come back to it. But think about it. Think about it. The likeness that there is seen here, building of the temple in the days of Solomon, and the future temple that is to be built in the days of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Help us to believe it. Not to come to it and say, I don't believe that. I think that it doesn't mean what it appears to mean. I'll put another meaning on it. God, save us from that form of reading Thy word. But grant that we might simply receive the word of God. Bless the boys and the girls today and our school. Provide for its every need. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.